If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to 1 Samuel. I'd like to read from 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'd like to read tonight about Jonathan and David and Saul, primarily about Jonathan and David. I'm sure that everybody doesn't feel like I do, but I feel like that Jonathan is one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of this earth. I feel like that Jonathan, and this is the part you may not agree with me on, but I think that probably Jonathan was, in many ways, was even greater than David. And that's a strong statement, I understand that, but David, in the Word of God, the Scriptures tell us that David went out against one giant Philistine. And that was certainly a great testimony of his faith and his trust in God. But the Word of God tells us just before that, just two or three chapters before, the Word of God tells us about David going out and fighting Goliath, one giant, one Philistine. The Word of God tells us, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. There is no restraint. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Jonathan and his armor bearer went out against the whole army of the Philistines. Now, that's a tremendous amount of faith. And then you think about, if you had been Jonathan, I want you to think about, had you been Jonathan and your daddy was King Saul, what would you have expected to happen to you once King Saul was dead? I would be the king. And I want you to think about another man coming along, and you begin to see the people going after that man, and they're being absolutely, we tried to study this morning about hatred. I would think that there would be a strong case there for, certainly King Saul was jealous of David, wasn't he? And King Saul despised David, and King Saul wanted to kill David because the people began to desire David over King Saul, and they gave so much glory to David, and King Saul despised the glory that was given to David. But Jonathan was never jealous of David. It made no difference to Jonathan. In fact, it seems that he desired that David be the king rather than he being the king. Do you see the tremendous amount of, first of all, the tremendous amount of strength that Jonathan had to go out and fight the whole army of the Philistines? That's one thing. But then also the humility that Jonathan had, that whenever he was around David, that he always he seemed to honor David and give David the glory rather than receiving it himself. We'd like to read now from 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul," that is, when David had finished speaking unto Saul, "that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Jonathan loved David as his own soul. In fact, Jonathan, or rather, the Word of God later tells us in 2 Samuel, after Jonathan was dead, 2 Samuel, the Word of God makes this statement about David's love for Jonathan. "After Jonathan was dead, David said, 'I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me, for thy love to me was wonderful. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women.'" Now, that was not a homosexual relationship. It's just that David was saying that in spite of how wonderful it is to love a woman, my love and my friendship for my friend Jonathan surpassed the love that I ever had for any woman on this earth. Now, that was a tremendous amount of love that those two men had for each other. The friendship that they had was strong, it was a lasting, it was an enduring friendship. And you and I, as the people of God, we need to try as best we can. We need to try to develop those kinds of friendships in our lives. That we would have people that we love, like David says, that their love surpasses the love of anything that man can comprehend. That men can love men and have men as friends. And women can love other women and have them as friends. And above all of that, husbands and wives loving each other and having that kind of friendship is a great, wonderful blessing. The main thought that's on my heart tonight is the subject of friendship, especially the friendship that David and Jonathan had for each other. The word, last part of verse 1 says that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 2 says, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Did King Saul, right here, did King Saul love David? Was King Saul greatly impressed by David? And indeed he was. He loved David very much, just like his son Jonathan did. Not to the degree, but in the same way. Verse 3 says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And listen to verse 4, to the tremendous amount of love that Jonathan showed toward David. Verse 4 says, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Everything that Jonathan had, he gave him the dearest possessions of his life. He was willing to give up being the king, and he was willing to give David everything he had. He stripped himself for his friend David. Now, that's a great man of God. Now, what about Saul right then? Is there going to be a difference in Saul? I want you to begin now in verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people. That is, David was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Verse 6 says, and it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that is, from killing Goliath, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now, up to this point, as Saul also loved David. Took him into his house, didn't want him to go back to his father's house. He loved David very much. He saw the power of God manifested in David's life, and he loved David up until the point where the people began to give their glory and their allegiance to David. And they began to exalt David and say, now, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. Verse 8 says, and Saul was very wroth. Can you see how could you see how the devil would be working in Jonathan right now? If you had been Jonathan, would you have been a little jealous of David? I think so. Unless your love was like the love that Jonathan had for David. So verse 8 says, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? What was Saul worried about? Saul was worried about him losing his kingdom to David. But was Jonathan worried about that? Jonathan wasn't worried at all. And he says, now what more can he have but the kingdom? Verse 9 says, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. The rest of the time that Saul lived, he spent the major portion of his life, he spent chasing David, desiring to kill David. He despised David. He went from loving David to hating David and desiring to kill David. But I want us to think about Saul and Jonathan, the tremendous friendship that they had and the love that Jonathan had for David and David had for Jonathan. And the Scripture says that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. It repeats that. There are two times that the Scripture says in this short passage that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And then you come down to 1 Samuel chapter 23. The Word of God, and I encourage you to go home and study this week about Jonathan and David and look at the tremendous love and the friendship they had and ask yourself, in fact, I would ask you this night, do you have friends as close as David did? Do you have friends that you love and that love you as much as David and Jonathan loved each other? 1 Samuel chapter 23, listen beginning in verse 16, just further emphasizing the tremendous love that Jonathan and David had for each other. The Scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 16, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God." Now, you hear what the Word of God says there? David went to Jonathan, or rather, Jonathan went to David. David was out there in the woods. Why was he in the woods, by the way? He was hiding from King Saul. And as David was out there in the woods, I want you to notice the wording here, that Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Now, what's that saying? That's saying that when Jonathan went out there to David, he did not say, "You can depend on me only," but he strengthened David's hand in God. Now, I believe that is the most wonderful thing that a friend can ever do, is not so much to say you can count on me, but to strengthen your friend's hand in God. To encourage your friend to know that I may be a good friend, but there is a better friend than I am. I may help you in many ways, but there's someone who can help you far more than I'm able to help you. And that's what Jonathan did. He strengthened David's hand in God. He caused David to have a stronger relationship with God. And I would encourage all of you, as you have friends, that one of the things that you need to do is to strengthen your friend's hand in God. Not just that you be a strength to them, but you strengthen their hand in God. Verse 17 says, "And he said unto him," that is Jonathan said unto David, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee." Did that ever come to pass? No, it never came to pass because Jonathan died. But he thought that was what was going to happen. He says, "Now you're going to be the king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee." Do you see what kind of friend that is? Are you willing to play, what's the expression we sometimes use, play second fiddle? We don't want to do that, do we? We want to be the most important. That wasn't the feeling of Jonathan. He wanted to exalt his friend David. He wanted his friend David to be the king of Israel. Verse 18 says, now in 1 Samuel 23, verse 18, the Word of God says, "And they too," that's both Jonathan and David, "and they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house." They made a covenant. They made a pact. They made an agreement. They made a promise that they were going to be faithful to each other as long as they lived. And they kept that covenant. They were faithful to each other. They were good friends. They were, sometimes the Word of God calls it, chief friends. They were best friends. They were friends that could not be separated. And I have no doubt that the devil, many times during the friendship of David and Jonathan, I have no doubt that the devil, do you think the devil ever leaves two godly men alone? Do you think the devil ever leaves any child of God that's trying to serve the Lord? Do you think the devil ever leaves us alone? He may for a short season, but he won't leave you alone long. The devil is always going to be attacking your mind and your heart and your soul, and he's going to do everything he can to destroy your life. And he's going to do everything to destroy your family, and he's going to do everything he can to destroy your friendship with other people. And right now, I have no doubt but what in all of your lives that there are ways that the devil is working to destroy friendships that ought to be a lasting friendship as long as you live. And even though right now you might not realize the friendships that you have and might not realize the danger that those friendships can be in, as you live, you'll find that the devil does do everything he can to destroy friendships. Now, there are many, many people in the Bible, besides David and Jonathan, there are many other people in the Bible that had a tremendous friendship and love for each other. I think about the Apostle Paul. Who would you say was Paul's greatest friend in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul. Who would you say that of all the different... And Paul had a lot of friends, by the way. Now, there were times that many of his friends forsook him, weren't there? He writes about some of them. He says, now, this friend forsook me, and this friend forsook me, and they all forsook me, but the Lord held me up. He talked about the greatest friend of all is his Lord, but then he also talked about many other friends that he had. Who would you say are some of Paul's greatest friends, though they fluctuated, and though there were times that they seemed to almost lose their friendship? Who would you say that Paul's greatest friend was? Okay. Now, do you see what you're proving? Someone said Silas. Is that a great possibility? It was Silas. Someone else said Barnabas. Is that a possibility that it was Barnabas? Someone else said Timothy. Someone else said Titus. I don't remember all of those that were said. But the point I'm trying to get across is the Apostle Paul, though he had many enemies, the Apostle Paul had some great friends. He had some true friends. He had covenanted together with many people, just like David and Jonathan had, and he had worked to nurture those relationships and to become good friends with a lot of people. And brethren, we all need to work. One of the expressions in the book of Proverbs is, he that will have friends must, what? Show himself friendly. If you want friends... Sometimes people say, I don't have a friend in the world. Well, if you don't have friends, there's one primary reason, usually, and that's because you have not been a friend to other people. Was Jonathan a good friend to David? Do you think that maybe Jonathan even did more towards strengthening their friendship than David did? Who was more giving in that friendship between Jonathan and David? Was David the biggest giver, or was Jonathan the biggest giver? You go through the Scriptures, you study their lives, and I think you will definitely conclude that Jonathan gave more in their friendship than David ever did. Jonathan was a tremendous friend to David. And we can't ever sit back and say, well, I've already done something for him, or I've done something for her. It's time for them to do something for me. That was not David's or Jonathan's attitude. Jonathan's attitude, his desire, his goal, his objective was to do everything he could to help his friend, to exalt his friend, to lift up his friend, and to strengthen his friend's hand in God. And Jonathan was a wonderful man and a wonderful friend to David. Barnabas, Saul, Titus, Timothy, they were all good friends to David. Did they all have conflicts from time to time? Did Paul and Barnabas ever have a conflict? Yes, they did. They had conflicts. There were many, many times that Paul and Barnabas especially, though they were probably two of the best friends in the New Testament, they had great conflicts. But what happened? Every time they would have a conflict, what happened? They began to go back and reestablish that friendship. What Brother Jerry mentioned this morning, they had to forgive each other, and they went back and started over. How many times have you started over in friendships? You know who my best friend is besides Jesus? You know who my best friend is in this world? Anybody have any idea who my Brother John, who do you think, okay, Sister Caitlin, who do you think my best friend is? Besides God, besides Jesus, Brother John. That's right. She's my best friend. She's my best friend. I love my son. My son and I are good friends. I love my daughters. We're good friends. My grandchildren and I are good friends. But my best friend in this world is my wife, other than God. And all of you that are married, your best friend ought to be your spouse. But you ought to have a lot of other friends. And in order to have those friends, you have to do things for them. You have to show yourself friendly. All of us need to work on strengthening our friendships with our friends. You're going to need friends. Did you know that? And we need the Lord. But there are times that you're going to be so weak that you can't find the Lord, and you're going to need a friend right there to help you out. And you need to be establishing those friendships. You need to be a friend to other people. Did Jesus, let's think about Jesus just a minute. Did Jesus have anybody on this earth that were friends of his? Who were some friends of Jesus? I mentioned friends of Paul, but what about Jesus? Who are some friends of Jesus? Name some people that you think would probably, at least from time to time, that would be classified as friends to Jesus. Mary? Yes, there were many women that were friends to Jesus. That they provided for him, they cared for him, they nurtured him, they loved him, they strengthened him. Many, many women, in fact, more women helped Jesus. More women were friends to Jesus than the men. Who? Okay, yes. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, yes. In fact, that's the reason that after he died, they saw him weeping, and many thought the reason he was weeping was because Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was a good friend, yes. Okay, the 12 apostles, the disciples, they were friends of Jesus. They did many things for Jesus. There's someone else that I think was probably Jesus' best friend. I think John the Baptist, yes. John the Baptist. Let's look at what John the Baptist... Did John the Baptist maybe do more to be a friend to Jesus? You follow the difference now. Not Jesus being a friend to them... But did John the Baptist probably do more to be a friend to Jesus than any other man while he was living on this earth? I think he did. Let's look at what the Scripture says. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 3. I want us to think about some of the friends of Jesus. John chapter 3, the Word of God tells us about John the Baptist. Now, were Jesus and John the Baptist, were they related in any way? Yes, they were cousins. John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. John the Baptist was the one that began to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was the first preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He prepared the way for the Lord. He did a lot for his Lord and his cousin and his friend, Jesus. Now, after Jesus began to preach, John the Baptist already had a lot of friends and a lot of followers as he went out preaching. And then Jesus began to come along. And as Jesus began to preach, there were many of John's disciples that began to be jealous of Jesus. Do you remember that? They began to talk about why people are beginning to follow Jesus. And John, even some of your disciples are going after Jesus. Did John the Baptist get jealous of Jesus? Was John the Baptist saying, well, tell them to come back. Tell them I haven't died yet. Tell them I may die soon. Stick with me as long as I'm alive and then go to Jesus? John the Baptist didn't do that. John the Baptist loved Jesus more than he loved his own life. And that's what I want us to remember, that if you're ever going to have true friends, that you're going to have to love them more than you love yourself. You're going to have to love them more than you love your own soul. In John chapter 3, listen, beginning in verse 27, as there's a conflict now between the disciples of John the Baptist and Jesus, the Scripture says in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. What's he saying? Everything I've ever been able to do in my life, I've only been able to do it because God blessed me to do it. Isn't that what he's saying there? A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And then in verse 28 he says, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. You see what he's saying? What's he doing? He's pointing them where? He's pointing them to Christ. He's saying, I told you I was not the Christ. I'm surprised, I'm ashamed that you don't remember that I told you that I'm not the Christ. I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. Verse 29, John the Baptist continues speaking. He says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, the what? What does he say here? The friend of the bridegroom. Now, who is John talking about when he says here, the friend, who is the bridegroom, by the way? Who is the bridegroom? The bridegroom is Christ Jesus. And he says, but the bride, you have, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm a friend of the bridegroom. And as a friend of the bridegroom, I rejoice in hearing my bridegroom's voice. I rejoice in standing beside my bridegroom. I rejoice in declaring that my bridegroom is the greatest of them all. And then in verse 30, he makes this statement that we all know. He says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Do you hear what John the Baptist said there? Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. Isn't that really the key to real friendship? Is that you have to feel, I'm going to decrease, and I'm going to lift them up. What did Jonathan do way back there in the beginning of our study tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 18? What did Jonathan do whenever he began to love David so much? What did he do? He stripped himself. Do you remember that? He stripped himself. I'm not talking and concentrating so much on the physical stripping that he did, but he stripped himself of everything. He stripped himself of pride. He stripped himself of his greatest possessions and gave them all to David. He loved David. He was a friend to David. John the Baptist was a great friend to Jesus Christ. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Listen now to verse 31. "He that cometh from above," who is John the Baptist speaking about in verse 31? Yes, he's speaking about Jesus Christ. "He that cometh from above is above all." What's he saying? I'm not the greatest. I'm not the light. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Savior. "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth." Who's he speaking about there? He's speaking about himself. "I'm just an earthly creature. He that cometh from heaven is above all." He's giving all glory to Jesus Christ. I pray that as we... Oh, by the way, turn in John chapter 15 just a moment. I want you to notice one other thing. Brother David, do you think I love you enough to die for you? Yes. Has Brother David hit the nail on the head there? Are there times, isn't it amazing how our friendships fluctuate, our feelings for others fluctuates? There are times that I would die for Brother David, and there are times he would die for me. Same with Brother Jerry, and I think for most of us in this congregation, there are times that we would be willing to die for one another, aren't there? But now, what did I tell you this morning? Those same people that you sometimes are willing to die for will become the people that you hate more than anybody on this earth. And if we don't guard against hatred, if we don't work continuously to nip it in the bud, if we don't work to stop animosity and hatred and any root of bitterness, then all those friendships you have, they can be destroyed. And we need to pray, God, help us as a church body. Help us to be what Christ says the bride ought to be. Help us to love one another. Let brotherly love continue. Let's work and labor that our friendships for each other and our love for the brethren would go stronger and stronger. I believe I can love you more than I love you right now. I believe that every one of us can love each other more than we love each other right now. And the greatest love that a man can have is that he'll lay down his life for his friends. Do you understand? That's the greatest natural love that a man can have. And that's taught in John chapter 15. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 15, verse 13. The Scripture says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his" what? For his friends. Now that's the greatest love I have, is that I can lay down my life for my what? My friends. Now, do you know what Jesus did? He went beyond that. Do all of you understand? Jesus did not just lay down His life for His friends. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 5, that while we were yet sinners, we were enemies of God. Christ Jesus laid down His life for His enemies. The greatest love we humans will ever have is that we'll lay down our lives. And there are a few people that we would even lay down our lives for. But Jesus loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But now, listen, after he says, "Now the greatest love that you can have as men is to lay down your life one for another." Listen to verse 14. Jesus says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you." Now, is there a difference in being a friend of God and being a child of God? Everybody understand the difference there? There's a difference in being a friend of God and being a child of God. There are many more children of God than there are friends of God. If you're going to be a friend of Jesus, listen carefully, you have to do what Jesus says. Jesus says here, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you." I hope that God will bless us all tonight as we leave, that we'll really seek. Do you want Jesus to be your friend? Do you want to be a friend to Jesus? Now, if you want to be a friend to Jesus, there's a lot of work you have to do. Was Jonathan a greater friend to David, as far as I've preached tonight at least? Was Jonathan a greater friend to David than David was to Jonathan? Yeah, I think he was. I want you to all understand you'll never be a greater friend to Jesus than Jesus is to you. It'll never happen. You can work as hard as you want to. You'll never be a greater friend to Jesus than Jesus is to you. You need to thank the Lord that you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's Jesus Christ. But you also need to thank the Lord that in His amazing grace, that Jesus has blessed us as the bride of Christ, not only to have the bridegroom as our friend, but to have one another as friends. And may God help us to nurture that friendship and covenant that friendship together like David and Jonathan did, is my prayer for Christ's sake.